I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the 360 podcast. Who are the Black Widows that Russian authorities are searching for now at the Winter Olympics? Also, Rob Ford's apparently fallen off the wagon, the mayor of Toronto back at making headlines and a new video. Let's get started. Well, it's hard to imagine, but there are even more security concerns tonight surrounding the upcoming Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. The region is already being flooded with security personnel. They're already searching for one of those so-called Black Widows. They're already gotten threats, and in the city of Volgograd, a deadly taste of what Islamic militants promise will be much more to come. Two attacks there. Today, on top of all that, there was a shootout. The Black Widow danger appeared to grow. President Obama and Russian President Putin spoke by phone about security measures. And we learned that top Russian and U.S. generals have been talking about sharing American technology for detecting IEDs. That certainly gets one's attention. Phil Black is in the Russian city of Volgograd. He joins us now with the latest. So these threats, talk about what is the latest in terms of them, because last night we talked about them searching for one so-called Black Widow. How big a danger do these threats now pose to the Olympics?
Well, it now seems greater, Anderson. So we are aware of two potential separate Black Widow terror threats that the Russian authorities have detected. The first, we talked about a woman who could already be in Sochi planning an attack. A second involving a group of women targeting the Olympic torch relay in the city of Rostov-on-Don. Rostov-on-Don is where the Olympic torch was today and will be again tomorrow, so potentially an imminent threat there. One of the women said to be involved in this was killed by Russian security forces in an operation on the weekend, but there are still two other women, and their whereabouts is unknown. The only reason we know about any of this, Anderson, is not because the Russian authorities are talking about it, but because they have been concerned enough in both cases to appeal for help from hotel workers on the ground to try and find, locate these women, Anderson.
And the Russians appear to be reaching out to U.S. officials about security. What do you know about that?
Well, we know that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, met with his Russian counterpart, and they talked about sharing technology, American technology, to detect and jam improvised explosive devices. And the both sides are now said to be looking at whether or not that U.S. technology, developed through the tough experience of the Iran and Afghan wars, could be of use, is compatible with U.S. systems, Russian systems, I should say. But we also know that Presidents Obama and Putin spoke by phone tonight, and while the American version of that conversation mentions Sochi and the U.S. offer to help in any way it can, the Russian version of that call does not mention that. The Russians will not easily admit that they need help or they are not up to the task of securing these games.
All right, Phil, appreciate it. Thanks very much. A closer look now at the women who have terrorized Russia through the reality, the reality of female combatants is not new to much of the world. It is to this part of the world. Paula Newton explains.
There was a time when women were above suspicion in Russia. It was unthinkable, especially among Russian security forces, that mothers and daughters would resort to ruthless acts of terror. But the mass hostage-taking at a Moscow theater in 2002 blew apart the stereotype. More than a third of the terrorists were female, and while all the attackers were killed, so were 115 hostages. Ever since, and with more cunning than ever, Black Widows have stalked Russia.
They tend to be more ruthless, they tend to be more focused, and they also tend to hit civilian targets rather than the security services. And that's a big change and poses a substantial risk for people at the Olympics.
Black Widows were labeled for their motives, a determined band of women, mostly Chechen, out to avenge their husbands' or relatives' deaths at the hands of the Russian government. That's still true, but they have been joined by a new wave of ideological women who see themselves as freedom fighters in Russia. Women like Neda Asyalova, the calculating suicide bomber who boarded a city bus in Volgograd, Russia in October, killing six people. She lived in Dagestan, a stifling place in the Russian Caucasus, childhood home of the Boston Marathon bombers, where security forces impose curfews, stop and search at will, and free movement is often restricted.